Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Happens. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're like, hey, wait a minute, I didn't hear part one. Guys, it's because we put out a lot of recaps. Go back and listen to part one, okay? It's before this one. Bye. Enjoy the show. And now let's go to Erica, Kyle, and Dorit going to the abandoned church in San Mateo or wherever. So they're going there. And Dorit's like, so where are we going? And they're like, San Mateo. But what are we doing here?
We're going to walk around, Dorit.
But we're not doing anything specific here. What are we doing specifically? Is there a store? Is there a store where we can go shop?
There's like some, like, we're going to get gelato somewhere. They're like on a fetch quest in Zelda. They have to like walk through this town to find the gelato guy. Boys.
Despite Dorit claiming that she and Bose are now both besties, and me and Erica are the closest in the group to Dorit, so we want to talk to her in a more private setting to try and get to the bottom of what is going on with her. But like, as far as she knows, we're just doing like a little sightseeing and getting a little gelato.
So they start walking down. They're going down a staircase, and you know, some half of them are in heels. It's like, and Kyle's like, "Oh, this place is really dead." Kyle's so mad that they're like not in a cooler place than the other girls. And
so like at one point, location scouts, you losers.
I like one point, Erica goes, well, there's one lonely soul. And we see just like some random girl, and they put an arrow on her to be like, there's another person. That was the funniest, stupid thing that they did. Like, thank you, editor. Whoever decided to add that little arrow in Apple Motion, we see you. So they're walking around. Erica's like, okay, guys, I feel awkward. I care about you both, but you two are still at odds, and I hope you're able to resolve it. But I don't know. That's all I got. Okay. Thanks for the therapy. Hey, I'll just fix it.
Yeah,
okay?
You guys find the shit. We should be friends. I mean, I don't fucking know. Isn't there supposed to be gelato around here somewhere? Jesus Christ. Oh, I got a blow to get out of this mess.
Here's to you. Here's to me. May we never disagree. If we do, fuck you. Here's to me. Okay, let's get gelato.
Oh, so we're going to sit on a wall, are we? Okay, a wall. Okay, well, honey. I don't know.
Before you launch into what she actually says, they do sit on this, like, they sit on, like, a little wall above, like, a high, like, I was like, they could fall back and die. And, but, like, Kyle and Erica sit in the sunlight because they want to be well lit. But Dorit actually cares about her skin, so she's trying to see in the shade. But over the course of this entire scene, the shade keeps on moving, and she keeps having to slide down the wall. And that was the funniest thing, where she's like, I'm mad at you, now let me rearrange myself to stay in the shadows. Thank you.
She has to keep moving as the like line of shade keeps moving, and it's going downhill on a cobblestone thing on a brick wall or whatever. So she's like,
Eventually she gives up. She's like, let's walk.
Please.
Let's just move.
Honey, I don't know we have anything going on between us. I just know that I've been told that Kyle is having conversations about me being erratic and being late and spending too much.
Well, erratic might have been too strong of a word. Okay, maybe like erratic was too strong of a word. Maybe psychopathic. I don't know.
Erratic was probably too strong of a word, which is why I will use it several more times later this episode when we fight again. But yeah, psychopath, crazy, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. How do you say in Italian, totally deranged? So Dorit's like, It's like, I didn't really mean to use that word. Okay. The word I meant to use was total fucking bitch. Okay. And I said, like, you may be having just like a little bit of OCD. I'm like, oh, so that's somehow better. Dr. Kyle Richards, therapist at large, says, and Erica's like, look.
The lateness just has felt disrespectful. And I love you. I don't want anything bad for you. I don't even want you to fall off the side of this wall. Although if that did happen, it would be kind of funny. You might die, but it would be hilarious. Right, guys?
And I liked Erica in this moment because she's just telling her, yeah, it's the lateness. Like, okay, Kyle's saying whatever, but you're late and it's rude. Like, just say that, because that's all really anybody has a point about. So Dorit's like,
but Erica, am I being a rootic? Am I being rootic?
And she's like,
well, I mean, you seem overwhelmed. Thank you. Thank you, Erica. Thank you.
Dorit, why are you juggling those pebbles right now?
I don't know. I just decided to do it in the moment.
Erratic.
So Kyle's like, that's just what I said. I said erratic might have been too strong of a word. Why is it okay that she can say it, but I can't? And Dorit's
Dorit's like, one moment, I need to reposition myself deeper into the shade. Okay. What were you saying?
That was so erratic. Oh, I can't believe you're like moving into the shade like that. What a crazy person. Someone call a 5150 on her.
But here's what's not cool. Like, I can say something that makes you mad, but then Bose will say something. Like, she said your finances were in a dire situation.
When did she say that?
She did say that. Even Erica's like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, what was the word she used? Like, erratic finances? Erratic, dire, poor? Poor? She's poor? Descamisado? I think she said descamisado. She's like, Erica goes, wait, what? When? Was I there? Kyle's like, God damn it, Erica. Well, it come to me that you had concerns about me. So come to me. Come to me, Kyle.
So then, you know what I loved? Actually, this is what I was like, oh, it's a good Kyle episode. Because when Dorit said, if you have concerns about me, come to me. And when she said, come to me, Kyle just goes, come to me. Because Kyle knew Dorit was going to say that. And Kyle just like parrots it with this, like, she bobs her head back and forth because it's such a cliche on reality TV. If, like, next time, come to me. And I love the way Kyle was like, ah, stupid bullshit.
It's just mocking her and like making head, you know, making faces and stuff.
Like, and I'm not on Kyle's side in this fight, but I did enjoy that bit of mockery.
Well, at least she's got some life, which is more than we can say for the past few seasons. So Dorit's like,
well, the only thing that a friend of mine has come to me with is that you have concerns. Okay, Kyle?
And Erica's like, well, look, I feel that anything anybody comes to you with, including myself, is immediately met with, like, defensiveness or something.
And I understand it. You go through a tough time, blah, 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 blah. My question is, did you walk in after Tom had been robbed and somebody stole his eyeball and then he fell down a hill and his car was on fire? Come on, Dorit.
Look, during my tough time, I was very defensive and I acted hotly towards everybody. I mean, non-waterproof mascara, what was I even thinking? Dorit's like, yes. So you understand then that when you're going through a tough time and the friends that you're leaning on for support are coming at you not out of concern.
I'm like, yeah, but you should also understand that when someone's acting like the way Eric acted or the way Kyle acted, that people are going to ask questions, you know, so it does go both ways. So Kyle's like, what? Who's coming at you, Dorit? Who's coming at you? Which is funny that Kyle's asking that when she's literally coming for Dorit at this very moment.
And both of them were like, who?
Oh, me? Who? You guys. And now Erica has an issue with me, Coyle. You have an issue with me. Well, look, I'm having an honest conversation with you about my feelings, okay? So screw me, all right?
Which I appreciate. Like, okay, so you appreciate her, but like you're mad at me. I'm so sick of this shit with you, Dorit. And Dorit.
Yeah, Kyle, like, because you're the one going behind her back, talking to her about everybody, which is her point. Erica's not. You are.
Kyle, you do it every time and you do it so well. And it's just, it's like scary, Kyle. It's very scary.
So Kyle are now like, they're squabbling over, talking over each other. And Kyle's like, okay, so it's okay for Bose to say something.
Here's the thing, Kyle. I trust Bose. I don't trust you. Kyle's like, oh.
Yeah, good for her. Because Bose didn't even say any of that stuff. You said it and tried to get Bose to agree with you so then you could turn around and use it against her. You're so sneaky and snaky. And I'm so glad she's being called out. And I loved when she said, I trust Bose. I don't trust you. Boozoo. Yeah. And it's just like, you asshole. And Kyle's like, unfucking believable. Dorit is like up Bose's ass. And it's a little off-putting. Little off-putting.
Last year, it was trust issues with the whole texting PK thing. This year, we're supposed to be working back to trusting one another. But how can I trust someone who is talking about me behind my own back?
So Kyle's like, I've given you nothing to not trust me about, except for the fact that I call everyone in our group and tell them how erratic you are behind your back.
You've given me every reason not to trust you, Kyle. Tell me
what it is. Tell me, because you're the first one that read my text for millions of people to see. Oh, God, Kyle, you're bringing that up from two reunions ago. Oh, for Christ's sake.
Oh, my God. That was like the the way that Kyle has tried to latch onto that to excuse her own bad behavior in this friendship is so shitty. And she's going right back to it yet again. So she's like, oh, we're going to go back. But I love when Dorit does this. This is her favorite gesture, is when she does the, oh, we're going to go back. Because she does this every now and then. She like throws her whole body. She goes, oh, we're going to go back. Is that what we're going to do? We're going to go back. We're going back. So,
yeah, well, hello. Where do you think the mistrust came from? She's like, well, when you were going through changes and going through something, vagina, and you weren't being honest about it, I didn't go behind your back and express concern, Coyle.
Bose asked me what was happening, so I shared with her, and I'm not saying anything that the rest of the group hasn't already said. And by the way, Rachel's already said those things. Huh. Yeah, coolest girl in the group. She also believes it too. So who's the loser now? You are. Dorit's like,
and
is it
possible? I love Dorit for staying calm here, and she just does her squint. And she like does her finger thing where she like closes everything with all her five fingers. She's like,
is it possible for us to just talk about our friendship, Quail?
She's like, I'm not going to be singled out when everyone else is saying the same thing.
You are the one saying it to everyone. And you are the only one saying it. You are the one who's going to be singled out. And she's not even singling you out. You brought her to this abandoned, godforsaken place.
I know. This godforsaken, gorgeous place. Kyle is what makes Kyle fascinating after everything, for after all the shit we talk, like, oh God, it's time for Kyle to go. What makes her always compelling to me is that she is torn between two things. She yearns desperately to be the alpha, to be the queen bee of a situation, but she doesn't have the confidence to really be that person. And I think it's because she was the younger sister and she always had to take care of Kim. Like Kim was the famous one, the more famous one. And Kyle was tasked by Big Kathy to always look out for your big sister, because like Kyle's a responsible one. So Kyle's always been under someone and she always yearns to not be under someone. But then when she is exposed in all the light, like that's the space that she's not used to, because she normally gets to be behind someone. And when she's up there, she sort of spins out. She always kind of wants to be an alpha, and then she's up there and then retreats behind a true alpha. And here, and so when she does this stuff, when she goes around and rallies the troops about one person, that's actually an extension of this behavior in my mind, because she can't just sit in her truth of saying, I think you're being shitty. She needs to make sure she's like, and everyone thinks so too. So that way everyone can protect me if this all comes down on me. Like, oh, you don't get mad at me. We all believe it. So she can kind of recede into the group again. And so it's so fascinating the way Kyle goes between these two places of like wanting to be the main one, but she just, when she's there, she sort of like loses her mind and she always has to recede back.
Put simply, the crown is heavy, darling.
The crown is heavy. It's too heavy for Kyle. She cannot do it. She really can't.
Yeah, so Dorit's like, well, listen, if anybody wants to, she said, Bose did not voice her concerns to me. And so if she went to you with concerns or frustrations, I have a problem with it. And just like I have a problem with you bringing concerns to Bose and not me. So if Bose did do that, I'll have a problem with her. But right now we're talking about you, Kyle. And so now she's doing her thing again where she's like,
Coyle is doing everything but owning her own opinion. And she's getting more and more heated at me trying to deflect from her being such a short friend and bringing my other friends into the situation.
Is she still chewing a candy? I can't tell what she's doing. She keeps like sucking.
You know, I'm overwhelmed and I'm going through a lot. And you just said you understand. It's like,
yeah, of course I understand.
So you can't show me some grace, Kyle?
She's like, well, I mean, I have been showing you some grace, and that's why I didn't say anything yet. She's like,
well, you've said it to other people.
Well, yeah, but we've all said it, and this isn't something that you're supposed to get defensive about.
But you're the one screaming, Kyle.
She's like, well, okay, well, fine. So at this point, they've now stood up and they've been walking, and they've arrived at this random, in the middle of nowhere, gelato guy. Like literally, not a soul in this town. There's no evidence of even any stores. It's just like old buildings with windows that are high up, and there's like not even a commercial district. And somehow, this little gelato stand with these like tubes of cones is just there with an umbrella. And they're like, okay, now we'll have our gelato.
Yeah, it's all expired. There's not been anybody in that town for years.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Yeah. So Dorit's like, well, I'd like to have a conversation about how you have such a tough time showing me support, Quail.
Well, do you ever ask about Mo and me ever? Because I'm separated and we were married a lot longer than you and PK.
Oh, okay. So now it's the competition on marriage. Okay. Your marriage was the strongest, Kyle, and nobody can ask you a fucking thing because you cry about it and say that they're not allowed to because you're allowed to go through things in your own time, Kyle.
Yeah.
They've tried asking you about it.
And you also say you guys have like the best separation ever. So like, what is there else to ask? Also, Mauricio is there all the time. There's like nothing to ask about. I'm surprised he didn't show up. I'm surprised like when they got to the gelato stand and like, we'll have a gelato, please. Like Mauricio didn't turn around with like two cones in his hand. Like, oh, hey, ladies. Hey, Doreen, how is it going?
I just happened to be in the neighborhood. You know, this guy is maybe going to try and sell his gelato stand or whatever. So, you know, fix the moldings, I told him.
Kyla spent 2 years crying about people asking about her relationship. 2 years. 3 years. Has it been three? And now she's like, would you ever even ask about us? So she goes, oh, yes. But you always say everything is perfect. And you even seem that you don't even want to talk about it. So when you were depressed, you told us after the fact. How do you measure support? How do you measure it? 5,500, 600 minutes, Quail. Okay.
Yeah, that's how long my last run was. I at least asked you questions. So now they're like, they all have their gelato, by the way. This guy, they probably told him, like, you have to be here. These people are going to shoot. And he's been waiting there for hours. And they show up, they're screaming at each other. And then he just has to sit there, watch them. I was surprised they even ate their gelato, to be frank. So they're walking around with their gelato. And they're now like talking over each other. And Dorit's like, Erica, please. And she's like, oh, please, what? I'm not doing this, Erica. I'm talking to Kyle about issues I have with Kyle. And you're interjecting. She's like, well, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to stop talking unless I'm eating my gelato, which I got into in a cup and not a cone because you guys are animals. You're going to have gelato on your fingers while during the middle of your fight. Okay.
Well, I don't want you to stop talking, Erica. She's like, well, you're not going to make me stop talking ever.
She does the staccato thing where Erica decides to be mad for no reason. She's like, ever, ever.
Well, that's what you think I want you to do. You think I want you to make you stop talking? It's like, well, right now, yeah, it does sort of feel like that. She's like, all right, you know what? Let's go. It's like, I'm not going anywhere. Well, I am. Go fuck yourself.
So Dorit takes her gelato and goes over to the van and they just watch her. And she's like, we're going. And they
like,
leave.
Andiamo. Buca de Peppo. Bene ragazza. Puttana.
I think I was like, she really just left us here. They are left in the middle of the Brigadoon of Italy.
I mean, she did, but this show thinks we're all morons. I mean, there's another twin black van right next to it. Like, there's nobody else in this town, and there's another Mercedes van exactly like that one right next to it. But they're like, oh my God, she left us. Now we have to get an Italian Uber? Oh my God. She speaks Italian. We don't even speak Italian.
Oh, everybody better come correct to tell her exactly what they've been saying to, because that's not going to work. None of that's going to work.
All these women are claiming to be closer than they actually are with Dorit, but none of them actually want to do the dirty work. They just tell her that what she wants to hear, and I'm not going to kiss her ass because real friends are honest. I love Kyle saying, I'm do the dirty work with Dorit. I go get gelato with her in a beautiful little city. The dirty work. Their dirtiest of work, a scenic vista while having a cool refreshment.
So then they make it look like Kyle and Eric are waiting on the side of the road for some Uber or something. And then the twin Mercedes, the black Mercedes van picks them up. They're like, oh my God, thank God we got this Italian Uber. God, you guys. So then we go back to the villa and they're like, oh my God, should we find her? And in the dining room, Erica's like, well, I haven't even had a follow up with Dorit since Hong Kong. That was like 8 years ago. And then we see a flashback to 2016 on the junk boat.
Yes.
Dorit's like,
you're the only one who I haven't managed to connect with, Erica. Okay.
Because I don't like bullshit, Dorit, and that's what I think you are, bullshit.
Because, of course, that was Dorit's first season when she and PK, the whole season was about a joke that PK made about Erica's panties or lack thereof. So,
yeah, when PK was ogling her vag under her dress, PK is such a fucking pig. That was both of their first seasons, right? Didn't they come on their first season?
I think that was maybe Erica's second. It was either her second or her third season. I think it was her second season.
Wow.
So now everyone else arrives at the villa and Kyle's like, so guys, basically the conversation got intense and she didn't like what we said. So she just like left us at the place. Well, where is she now? We don't know. Like she could be anywhere in Italy. But like, you know, the conversation that you and I had in the Hamptons came up. Thanks a lot, by the way. She's like, yes, I told her everyone shares the same sentiment and she's been like late and all over the place. And Bo's like, Kyle,
I don't appreciate being dragged into this because I only expressed concerns based off of your concerns. And guess what? I took those concerns directly to Dorit. But by the way, I want to say one thing, though. This happens not just on this show, but on all these shows where something happens, then people talk to their castmates about it because they need to vent, and they need also the producers are probably like, talk to so-and-so at lunch about this. And then it becomes a thing. And then there's a confrontation, and the confrontation ends. Next time, when you have a concern, just bring it to me directly. And everyone says that. But the person who's like on the receiving end of it acts like they themselves also have been talking about the other person to everyone else. So everyone talks to everyone else. And so it's just so funny how time and time again, they will get on these shows and they will just say, like, I went directly to the person. It's like, no, you guys all talk shit about each other behind each other's backs at all time. I want at some point someone to say, yeah, well, I'll bring it to you eventually, but I have to talk about my friends about it first, because that's what humans do, you know?
Well, but in this case, Kyle is calling people to talk shit about Dorit, and then she's being like, I'm worried about Dorit. Dorit has OCD. Dorit is overspending. Dorit's doing all of this stuff. And then Bose is like, oh my gosh, well, that's concerning. And then Kyle takes that and is like, even Bose said she was concerned about you. And she's tricking everybody. And so I think they're like, no, you're not going to do that shit with us, Kyle. We've seen her do it multiple times over multiple, even this season, she's done it multiple times. And I think she's like, no. And she's like, and when you gave me the concerns about Dorit, I went straight to Dorit and talked to Dorit about it. So fuck off with this, Kyle.
For sure, Kyle is, she is doing the thing that I was just saying before. She is going around and she's trying to build a case and rally the troops and circle the wagons against, not circle the wagons, just rally the troops against Dorit. But it just in general, as like a general note on all these shows, it's just so funny that everyone, like time and time again, they make declarations of next time, come to me directly. And then the thing is that when people do come to people directly, then they get into fights. So it's just, you know, it's just like part of the nature of this.
So then, she's like, yeah. And, you know, like I also brought up Rachel, you know, like how she had anxiety over lateness. Remember, Rachel? Remember? And Rachel's like, yeah, here's the thing, guys. Like, I've known Dorit for like 2 months and like, I just have to assume that this is like how she's always been. Like, she's in a house and I'm there, but like she can open doors and I can't. I just like pass through them because I'm dead.
Literally dead. I can't even say Beetlejuice. It's so scary for me.
Yeah, but the point is, you even noticed her behavior is being stressful. Yes, Kyle, but being annoyed with someone being late is a very small part of this. And you're turning it into everybody saying that Dorit is losing her mind. It's very different. And Rachel's like, I mean, look, 100%, I can't live like that. I can't even be dead like that. You know, like it would give me a panic attack. You know, my heart doesn't even beat. But, you know, like I have other friends who can live like that and do that. So, you know, I just assume Dorit's been like the same way, like as long as you've known her. Like, I don't know for a fact that this is new behavior for her. And this is Rachel subtly saying, I had to watch some of this show, and Dorit's always been late. Like, don't drag me into this shit, girl. I'm not coming on this train either. You can't get Bose, and you're not going to get me either.
Yeah, I think Rachel does not want to be dragged into this at all. I think she does not like this from Kyle. I think this will actually, I sense that like Rachel's the sort of person who, she's not terribly confrontational, but what's going to happen is that Rachel will start to distance herself from Kyle because she's not going to like this being dragged into it. But also when Rachel says, I know people who operate on their own clocks, I kind of feel like she's talking about celebrities and celebrity clients who she just has to like work around. I know she doesn't style anymore because she can't trust assistants because broad. But like in a weird way, the vibe I got was she was kind of protecting her celebrity friends. Like, no, I'm not mad at my celebrity friends. Of course not. They take their own time and that's okay. I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, I think she's like, she's late, but it's like we're in Hollywood. And so she's like,
the thing
yeah.
is that Dorit is not wealthy enough or famous enough to be as late as she is. I think that's also the other thing. Because, you know, Kathy will be late and they'll be like, oh, Kathy, isn't it hilarious? But Dorit's like, wait, we're not going to wait for Dorit. No, that's crazy.
So Rachel's saying, yeah, look, I've commented that she's late, but I'm not chiming in about her being, you know, worried about her finances or her spending. I mean, that she's not mentally stable. You know, she's like, 'cause I don't know that to be true. And, you know, I think there needs to be a pretty clear line of who's considered like you all. She's like, who is you all? Like, who is we all? 'Cause like, who's we all? Who's we all? I'm not
part
of that.
Is Kyle in it?
Who's we all?
Is Kyle part of the all?
I'm not part of that.
If we're going to be in the all, like Sky and Caius have to be part of it. Like, I don't do anything without my kids.
So for the second time this season, we see a clear distancing. Rachel's like, I'm not getting on this Kyle train. So Kyle's like, well, I don't know how tonight's going to go, but like, I have a feeling that like everyone else, she's going to be like, I know you're just coming from a place of concern, but then she's only going to be mean to me.
Yeah, because you've been untrustworthy in the past. You were texting with her ex. Like, there's no reason for Dorit to ever think that you're coming from a good place versus a fishing place. Like, you've burned that bridge, unfortunately.
You're also starting it on this trip. She didn't start with you on this trip. Like, what are you doing? You're starting it. So Buzz is like, oh, don't do your imitations of her. She goes, no, I'm not going to do imitations. I mean, if I did, it would involve accents, multiple accents. Whoops. No one laughs.
I was so just ready to do an accent.
I just love that the whole cast basically is just staring at Kyle like, ooh. It's like cringe. They're already cringing, and Kyle is not picking up on the social cues. So now everybody's getting dolled up for dinner, and then
they're getting into cars.
You know, Amanda's joking that Dorit's going to be late and all this stuff. And so Rachel and Dorit ride together, and Rachel's talking to Dorit about the conversation, you know, that Kyle just had with everybody. And Dorit's like, oh, well, Coyle is trying to drive a wedge between me and whomever else in the group. And I do not like blue cheese on iceberg. And I've had it. I've had it with Coyle.
I've had too much of it. And then we see a series of scenes of Kyle talking about Dorit. And she's like, oh my God, Bose, like she's manic. Oh my God, Rachel, Dorit has OCD. Oh my God, Amanda, like Dorit's like all over the place. Oh my God, Sutton, like Dorit's like erratic and a little all over the place. Oh my God, she's crazy. She's going to blow any moment. She's going to blow America. Be careful. Please send help. Please send help.
If she can get the entire group on the opposite side of me, then she will feel victorious.
So then Kyle is now with Bose and Jennifer and Amanda in another car. And she's like, even though everyone is thinking and saying the same thing, she always gets so mad at me and she'll let it slide with everyone else. And I'm just like, I'm tired of it. I've been a really good friend and I'm sick of the narrative that I'm not being a good friend. So you're saying that the person you being like, she's lashing out at the person who's closest to her. Like you're saying that, Kyle, you're saying that Dorit is being nice to everyone else, but to the person who is closest to her, the person who is most entwined in her group, that's the one she's lashing out at. Can we just roll the footage of season one of You Stole My Goddamn House? You're an alcoholic, Kim. Can we just roll that, please, for a second?
Oh my gosh. So Jennifer's like, well, I think that she's just wound tight about her home situation and she's just trying to appear to keep it all together.
Yeah, but we're all noticing these things, right, girls? Right, right? And is it that big of a deal? I mean, no. I mean, so she's crazy. So she's OCD. So she's erratic. So she needs to be in a straitjacket. I mean, what is the big deal? Is that she's only annoyed with me about it? No one else is talking about it, Kyle. No one else cares. Please. So now we go to Dorit and Rachel's car, and Dorit's like,
to me, it doesn't come off as concealment. It just looks like someone looking to win things up.
This friendship sucks. Okay. Wow. You're like really winding right now. You're like that kaleidoscope in Sedona, just like rotating. It's like, this friendship sucks. Like, it fucking sucks. It's like a bullshit friendship. Like, this is not a girl friendship. Like, it sucks. Like, it's dead. It's done. I'm over it. It's dead. Yes, I'm not getting any enjoyment out of it. Like, I don't know how you have a friendship where you can't trust each other, or any relationship where you can't trust each other. Like, I can't even have a relationship with my gardener if I can't trust him. Like, right? Because he's just gonna, like, kill all my fucking flowers. Like, my flowers will be dead. It's one thing for me to be dead, but for my flowers to be dead, like, I can't. Like, I literally cannot.
And if I can't trust my gardener, who am I going to give my caftans to?
It's like the vision of passing Rachel's house, and there's just a gardener out there in a feathered caftan.
She's like, ready weed whacker. Just like, Luis, you've done great work for me for 10 years. I bestow you this caftan. Dad.
This is vintage Gooch. So now the women get to this train car that goes up a mountain thing, like a gondola type thing. And so they get in it, and we don't even get any of it. I thought we were going to get like a big fight in a gondola or something, but nope, we just arrive at the restaurant.
It did look like we were going to have a funicular moment because there was this awkwardness because Kyle was sitting in one part of it and Dorit was like at the like sitting like above her. And I thought like, ooh, are they going to have a multi-level fight in a funicular, multi-level funicular fight? Like, because this could be iconic. Like, oh my God, the funicular fight. No, they just get to the top. And Kyle's like, oh my God, we're so high. Oh my God, we're really high up. Oh. And there was also a moment earlier where when they were driving back from the city where there was like a fly in the car and Kyle's like, oh, there's a fly, there's a fly, there's a fly. So Dorit is somehow she got herself carsick in this funicular that's only going in one direction and not actually curving. She's like, oh, I feel sick after that funicular. It's too much for me. So they get there to this restaurant.
Dorit needs help. Dorit's losing it. She can't be in a funicular.
I think she's on drugs. Oh my God, guys.
So they go in and Jennifer is like,
wow, hello, everybody. Actor Jennifer Cooley. I mean, Jennifer, what's her face? Hey, can you just send us over the best wine, please? We're very fancy people. Can you tell?
By the way, why isn't Jennifer? I feel like Jennifer Tilly should be in The White Lotus. You just said Jennifer Coolidge, but I feel like Jennifer Tilly should be. And worried. What'd you say?
One day.
But, you know, I'm worried that Mike White, like, doesn't watch Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I feel like he's, like, not a Real Housewives gay. He's just strictly a CBS, like, Survivor Amazing Race gay.
Well, that's actually good because he probably wouldn't put on, like, a reality star in a lead role, but he would put a real actor. And she's an Academy Award nominee, and she's still in shows. Yeah.
But then she probably is, like, too close to the Jennifer Coolidge mold. But she should be on White Lotus. Like it feels very, and by the way, they were playing like full on White Lotus music during this episode. Like you could hear the voice that was, ooh. I was like, okay, settle down, Bravo. This is not the White Lotus. You're in a funicular.
Well, I would like to order gnocchi con trufoli con piccante gonda blanca tinta bomba.
But it was like, okay. Hi. All right, lady.
Hi, everyone. I've got an announcement to make. Since we've obviously been tracking this all season on this show, and I'm sure none of this footage ever got cut, the culmination of my storyline is that my youngest, whatever his name is, he's graduated from fixing vending machines, and he's going off to college in South Carolina to the University of Vending, and he's leaving. I'm being empty nester.
Very emotional. Like,
aw.
Very emotional. He has saved the last stuck almond joy from that machine. And it's very emotional. They're like, yeah, well, no one cares. So then
sometimes
Kathy's
you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. But now there will be no option for me. The nuts have left. Thank you. And they play this like sad music and it's like, aw. And then the scene just keeps on going. I was like, was this supposed to be her storyline? Did they just like decide to cut this entire storyline? And they're like, okay, we'll just give her like one little token speech and we'll move on.
Yeah. Yeah, Sutton's not killing it with the storylines. So then Kathy gives a toast, and she's like,
I would just like to offer a toast. Please take it. They worked hard on this bread. They put it in an oven and made it hard. Please eat it. You're gluten-free. Is that a celiacal? Or is it really a thing? You know, I don't know that I trust that, really. Nothing's free in life. Tell you that right now.
All right, Kathy, sit the fuck down.
Well, thanks. This is beautiful and very special.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
And so Dorit is complimenting Jennifer on all of her hair pieces. And then we see a recap of Jennifer's headpieces from the week. And Rachel's like, oh my God, I want every headdress you have. I love them. I collect them. Like I collect headdresses. And it's really hard because I can't even pick them up because, you know, my hands don't pick things up because I'm dead. I have to rely on assistants. We're terrifying. I hate assistants.
Can I say something, guys? It just feels awkward and weird that we're like not acknowledging like what happened today, guys. What? Oh, that you guys got gelato? It is weird. I thought you guys were on a low carb diet. No, not that. Not that. Okay. So
I like
Dorit.
Bose goes, oh Lord, here we go.
Dorit, you left. And she's like,
well, I left because I didn't feel conversational. It felt deflective. It didn't feel gentle. It felt aggressive.
What was deflective?
But well, I kept wanting to talk about how you're feeling about our friendship, and you kept bringing it back to the group.
Well, because everyone shares the same sentiment.
Right, right. I did hear you say that, Kyle. You said it multiple times. Stirring, stirring, stirring. You brought Rachel and Bose into it as well, Kyle. As well,
but it was nothing malicious or mean. It was just like, you know, me trying to create a little gang so we could gang up on you. Like, what, how can you gang up without the gang? Okay, it was just an observation that Rachel and I talked about at the airport, and like mainly Rachel. And Rachel was like, really, like the headline is like, you are late. And then she called Jennifer Gardner and was like, oh my God, Jennifer Gardner, like Dorit's always late. Like, I'm just like, these are things that happen. It wasn't malicious.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Can we get Haley Joel Osment in here? Because I need someone to see a dead person. Okay, I don't want to be confused. Like, my frustration with anyone who is late, like Dorit or anyone, like it gives me overall feeling that someone else's time is more valuable than like someone else's time who's
not as valuable
as like someone else's.
Yeah. See what she said. And like in the Hamptons, you said like, we're running on Dorit's time. Remember when you said that? You said you're running on Dorit's time. Remember we laughed so hard and you were like, probably like, you're like, Kyle, you're probably like the best friend I have out here. Remember when you said that? Right, Rachel? Huh?
God, this is so weak. And Rachel's like, yeah. Like, and I've said that to Dorit. I was like, oh my God. You're on your, like, own time that we run on. I learned that in Sedona.
Well, there's nothing that Rachel has said just now that she hasn't already said to me directly. And the part that you're missing is that I'll address Rachel's issues with Rachel and Bose's issues with Bose.
Well, when everyone's saying the same thing, like, I'm not going to have you single me out all the time, Dorit. Like, I'm not going to have that. Like, everyone, you are singling her out again. She didn't bring you up. She didn't even mention you. You are turning the whole dinner into being about her.
Yeah. It's like, everyone seems to be off the hook.
I'm not off the hook. Also, you know what's not off the hook? My music, no hooks.
So Dorit's like,
out of hooks. Never found a hook. God, hook, line, and stinker.
How many hooks do I give? Zero. None.
Actually, that was a hook. All right, never mind. I give myself some credit.
It was a great journey for me.
When Booze came to me after the Hamptons and she said Kyle had said Dorit was acting erotic, Kyle and I had been sleeping 10 feet from each other for 4 days, and if there was any concern, I would have thought that Kyle would have bing-a-dong-a-dong-a-dong come to me during 4 days that we were together and said, how are you doing? Because I'm worried about you. And that never happened.
Well, we were having fun and we had the best time. Why would I say it when it didn't seem like the right time?
Because you didn't feel like it was the time to do, you didn't feel it was the time to speak to me about it, but it was a good time to speak to Bose about it.
Exactly. Yeah, it was a great time. You wouldn't speak to her, but you called Bose. Fucking Kyle.
It's
like,
a great
yeah,
time.
Because like, it was more like you were like erratic, like all over the place, like erratic. I meant it that time. So like time not I even getting out of the car in town today, like you're in the bag for 10 minutes, you know?
And we see this footage of when they arrived at the ghost town. Dorit was like getting stuff out of her bag for like 10 minutes. And she's like going and finding every charger and rearranging things. And then like after what has clearly been like 7 or 8 minutes, she goes, you're not waiting for me, are you? No, they're observing the car. They're taking in the beauty of this van.
But it's like things like that that make me wonder, like, what's going on? And I really don't care about your spending. Like, do what you want. I don't care. You know, I don't care about that. It's like, oh, well, thank you, Kyle. And I don't think it's anyone else's business what I'm spending or buying. And if there is concern, I would appreciate if it was directed towards me.
Well, it's been brought up by others who share the same concern. Oh, well, I can see what Kyle is doing. She's trying to rally support for her opinions so it seems more palatable to Dorit. In reality, she should just stand on her own opinions instead of trying to pull everybody else in.
And by the way, I have to just point out again, everyone at this dinner is sitting there cringing. They're looking at Kyle like, oh my God, because no, she's trying to get everyone to fight and no one will fight. They're just all looking at her like, ooh, awkward. Even Natalie is like, oh God, I'm like the most awkward person here and this is even awkward for me. And Kyle is just getting more and more worked up and her eyes are crossing more and more and she's just like, doing that head bobbing thing that she does. And it's just getting so uncomfortable and it is hilarious. I mean, it is so good. And Dorit's like,
Quail, you've expressed concern behind my back.
And Kyle's like, just stop. Stop, okay? Stop.
Basically, what I'm hearing from Kyle is that she's been talking to Rachel and Bose and the entire group about me. And that's, and what's the common denominator here, people? Kyle!
And she goes, Kyle! She does like these double jazz hands like Chicago. She's like, Kyle!
So Kyle's like, I don't care what you, I don't care that you bought a Kelly bag in, with your book advancement. Just, well, it seems like you do, cool.
I don't care. Bose is the one who cared about the Kelly. I said it one time. Bose did. It was Bose. God. It was Bose all along.
She did not like, care. What are you talking about? She just said like, oh, she left a Kelly on the mat, on the counter or something like that. So Bose is just watching her like, you are ridiculous. So Kyle, Dorit just holds her eyes. She's like, oh my God, I can't. And Kyle is like literally cross-eyed and manic and crazy looking. And Dorit's like,
please stop saying that you don't care about something when you've just mentioned it a million times. She goes, oh my God, quit riding my ass all the time, Dorit.
Oh my gosh. And to be continued. Will they be able to settle their differences? We'll find out next week. But until then, thanks everyone for being here. We appreciate you. What a funny episode. And we will catch you on the next episode of Watch What Crappens.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster. It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto. Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Can I have a Kavanaugh? It's Anna Kavanaugh.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.